Be'ezras Hashem, Beli Neder. Let's finish Shas together. Today's learning is dedicated to the Nishmas Avi Moi Harav David Tzvi Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is Sukkah, daf Chof Dalid. Kudvach, Tzvika, Charachanach, Zvulun, and Dovzi. In order to understand today's daf, we have to just remember one or two things from yesterday's daf, and that is that the Gemara had said that Rabbi Meir holds that you can't use an animal as the wall of your sukkah because we are afraid maybe the animal will die, according to one opinion. So it sounded like Rabbi Meir was worried that an animal would die, and Rabbi Yehuda was not worried that an animal will die. So the Gemara in yesterday's daf had said, how could you say that Rabbi Meir is worried that animals are going to die? That Abaye holds. We said in yesterday's daf, does Abaye really hold that Rabbi Meir is worried that the animal is going to die and Rabbi Yehuda is not worried that the animal is going to die? But we found the opposite because the Gemara had presented a contradiction that if a Jewish Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen, so she can eat truma. If they have no kids and the Kohen goes on a long trip and he doesn't come back, so we have a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin that says she's allowed to eat truma because we don't assume that he died. And yet, we have another Brisa that says that if a Kohen says to his wife and they have no kids, I want to divorce you 1 second before I die, so then she's not allowed to eat truma from that minute because we're always worried maybe in the next moment he's going to die and therefore she won't be allowed to eat truma the minute before. And we ask, and Abaye asks this contradiction, and Abaye says that the Brisa says that we're not worried about the Mishnah that said that we're not worried that he's going to die is Rabbi Meir, who's not worried people are going to die, and the Brisa is Rabbi Yehuda, who is worried that people are going to die. And then the Gemara further proves this from the case of a person who purchases wine from Kusim. So Rabbi Meir says he's allowed to drink the wine and assuming he's going to be Mafresh Trumas HaMaisis later after Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda says, among others, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon all say you're not allowed to drink the wine. And there Abaye himself said, Abaye had brought a raya and said, you see, that Rabbi Meir is not worried maybe the barrel of wine is going to crack and therefore you won't be able to take the Trumas HaMaisis, and Rabbi Yehuda is worried. So in two places on yesterday's daf we saw that Rabbi Meir is not worried about that the husband's going to die, and he's not worried that the barrel of wine is going to be destroyed, and Rabbi Yehuda is worried. So how come when it comes to using an animal as the side of the sukkah, Rabbi Meir is worried for Misa and Rabbi Yehuda is not? That is a contradiction. That's where we got up to in yesterday's daf. Therefore, answers the Gemara. Now let's pick it up from our daf, from the very top line. We're up to the word epoch. Answers the Gemara, epoch. You're right. We got the shitas backwards. Switch them around. When Abaye answered the contradiction, he didn't mean to say that Rabbi Meir that Rabbi Meir is not worried about death and Rabbi Yehuda is worried about death. It's the opposite way around. The Brisa that said we are worried about Misa must be Rabbi Meir, because that goes in line with what he says in our Mishnah, that he is worried about death. Says the Gemara, flip it around. Rabbi Meir chayish l'misa, Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish l'misa. Rabbi Meir is worried about death, and Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about death. Disanya, like we have in our Mishnah, if you use an animal as the wall of the sukkah, Rabbi Meir posts Rabbi Yehuda makshir. Rabbi Meir says it's pasul because he is worried maybe it's going to die. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher because he's not worried things are going to die. Oh, so this answers up almost all the questions, but this leaves us with a problem because we have an explicit Mishnah by buying wine from the Kusim. You have an explicit Mishnah by buying wine from the Kusim that Rabbi Meir is worried, that Rabbi Meir allows you to take Truma. He's not worried that the barrel is going to be destroyed. And Rabbi Yehuda is worried maybe the barrel is going to be destroyed. So there, it's the opposite. So the Gemara is going to give the obvious answer. Maybe there's a difference between worrying that things are going to die versus that a barrel is going to be destroyed. It's not necessarily the same criteria. So let's see inside. Says the Gemara. Kasha de Rabbi Meir, ad de Rabbi Meir. So we have a contradiction. Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Meir. We have a contradiction. Says the Gemara. Right? Because in our Mishnah and in Gittin, Rabbi Meir is worried that the animal's going to die. He is worried that the husband's going to die. And yet by the barrel of wine, he's not worried. Shema Yivka Hanod. He's not worried that maybe the barrel of wine is going to explode, is going to break. Says the Gemara Amalach, Rabbi Meir, Misa Shchicha, Bekias Hanod Lo Shchicha. People dying is a normal thing. But barrels of wine randomly just breaking out of nowhere, that is not a normal occurrence. Efsher demasa leila shomer. When you buy wine from the kusim, you could give the barrel of wine over to somebody to watch to make sure it's not going to break. What about the other way around? Kasha the Rabbi Yehuda. But we also have a contradiction. Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the barrel of wine, he is worried it's going to break. Yet when it comes to the human being and the animal, he's not worried it's going to die. So what's the answer to that contradiction? Kash the Rabbi Yehuda says the Gemara. Time of the Rabbi Yehuda, lav mishav dechayesh lo bekiyas hanod. The reason Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to take the trumas or maestras off from the barrel of wine purchased from the kusim 2 minutes before Shabbos and you have no time to be mafresh trumas or maestras. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda disagrees is not because he's worried that maybe the barrel of wine is going to break. No, he's not worried. Just like he's not worried about people dying, he's not worried that the barrel of wine is going to break. No. It's because Rabbi Yehuda denies the whole principle of retroactive determination. Gentlemen, how do you have to take off the trumas or maestras in that case? What are you going to do? You're drinking the wine first. You have no time to be mafresh for Shabbos. You're going to drink the wine. And then after Shabbos, later on, you're going to say, oh, now I'm going to be mafresh trumas or maestras. And retroactively, it's going to be determined that when I drank the wine before Shabbos, really it was as if the trumas and maestras were already separated. That's called Brera, retroactive determination. Rabbi Yehuda denies the principle of retroactive determination, and that's why he says he can't be mafresh. Not because he's worried maybe the wine barrel is going to explode and the wine's going to go all over the place, you won't be able to be mafresh. No, it's because he denies the principle of Brera. Says the Gemara. V'lo chayesh Rabbi Yehuda l'bekiyas hanod? Really? You mean to tell me the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda is not that he's worried that the barrel is going to break? It's rather because he denies the principle of Brera? Just look at his words, though. That's not what he says. Says the Gemara, v'lo chayesh Rabbi Yehuda l'bekiyas hanod v'hami diktani seifa. Look at the end of that very brisa. Amru lo l'Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon said to Rabbi Meir, Iyata moda shema yibaka hanod. He says it black on white. He says to Rabbi Meir, hey, why aren't you worried? Maybe the barrel's going to explode. Venim tzezesho sitvel mafreya. Turns out you're going to be drinking tevel retroactively. V'omar luhu, and Rabbi Meir answered, l'kisha yivka. Rabbi Meir says, yeah, okay, fine. Let the barrel of wine break. That's a tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic way of saying, I'm not worried the barrel of wine's going to break. Lish l'kisha yivka. Yeah, I'll worry about it when the barrel of wine breaks. It's not going to break. Why do you assume a barrel of wine is going to break? Michlal, dechayesh b'kiyas hanod. You see from Rabbi Yehuda's words to Rabbi Meir that he is worried the barrel is going to break. So the Gemara comes up with a brilliant answer here. Brilliant answer. Answer the Gemara. Hasam Rabbi Yehuda comment to Rabbi Meir. No, this is what Rabbi Yehuda means to say to Rabbi Meir. Lidi di lesli brera. I deny the whole principle of Trumas and Maestras here because I don't hold a Brera. I don't hold a retroactive determination. So for me, you can't be mafresh Trumas and Maestras anyway. I don't hold a Brera. But you, El Lididach, but according to your Shita, Diyesh Brera, you hold that there is Brera. Shouldn't you be worried? Iyatamoda, the Shema Yibaka Hanod? Shouldn't you be worried that maybe the barrel will break? And Amar Lei, L'cheshe Yivka. So Rav Meir says to him, no, I'm not worried about this. So the Gemara continues to ask on this. V'lo chayish Rav Yehuda l'misa? Is Rav Yehuda really not worried that the animal is going to die, or the human being, the husband, the kohen, is going to die? He's not worried. V'hatanan. But didn't we learn together, all of us learned this together in Maseches Yuma, the very first Mishnah of Maseches Yuma? What does it say? For the kohen gadol, they would appoint a substitute wife for the kohen gadol. Why? Maybe his wife's going to die. Maybe his wife's going to die. Ah, so you see it's a mefarish of Mishnah that we're worried people are going to die. Says the Gemara, L'chashim the Mitzvah v'hatnan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Not only that, the Mishnah in the beginning says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afi Shacheres Maskinelo. That was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only do we appoint a substitute Kohen Gadol, we even appoint a substitute wife for the Kohen Gadol because we're afraid maybe the Kohen Gadol's wife is going to die, and the kapara on Yom Kippur doesn't work unless the Kohen Gadol has a wife. It's important to have a wife to help you achieve kapara. You know why? Because your wife makes you a better person. Because your wife makes you a better person. So the Kohen Gadol had to have a wife in order to do kapara and Yom Kippur, because his wife will daven for him, will help steer him on the right path. He'll help him do the kapara in a good way. Maybe his wife's going to die. Answers the Gemara, Hait Mar Allah, Amar Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yishua, Maila Asu B'Kapara. Yeah, the kapara on Yom Kippur, there we're going to take everything into account. We're going to go out of our way extra special to even have an extra wife. We're going to be choshish. Maybe his wife is going to die. Even though normally we're not choshish, a person's going to die. But for the kapara of all of Gan's Klai Yisrael Yom Kippur, there we're going to be choshish, even for a chshash rochok ma'od, even for something that's very unlikely to happen, there we're going to go out of our way. But usually Rabbi Yehuda, by the case of Yibam and Chalitza, by the Kohen, he's not going to be worried that maybe the Kohen's going to die, and he's not going to, by Elsewhere, he's not going to be worried. Says the Gemara, okay, now we're going back to Rabbi Meir's Shita, who said, you're not allowed to use an animal, a davar sheyishbo ruach chayim, as the wall of the sukkah, and you're not allowed to use the animal for a lot of other things. You can't use it as the wall of the sukkah. You can't use it as a lechi for your mavo. You can't use it as pasen for your biraos. You can't use it as a golel lakever. Three shitas. What's a golel lakever? Either the top of the coffin, cover of the grave, or the headstone. Three opinions. Says the Gemara, Bein lamanda amar shema tamus, or bein lamanda amar shema tivrach. Whether you hold that the reason why you can't use an animal for the wall of your sukkah is maybe the animal will die, or maybe the animal is going to run away. Wait a second. Midoy raisa mechitza ma'al yehi. So you tell me the whole chashash is only a maybe. Maybe it's going to die, maybe it's going to run away. That's all chashashas to Rabbanan. But midoy raisa, you tell me midoy raisa, a live animal is a good wall. V'Rabbanan hu d'gazru ba. We learned in the Mishnah in Erevin, Rabbi Huda Mitame Mishum Golel, the Rabbi Meir Mitaher. If you're telling me the whole thing's only Chash to Rabbanan Midor Rice, it is a good wool, so why isn't it a good Golel Lekever according to Rabbi Meir? Why does Rabbi Meir say he's Mitaher? He says it's not a good Golel Lekever, it's just a Chumra to Rabbanan, but Midor Rice. It should be mitame mishum gola. Says the Gemara, you're right. Therefore, we have to give a different pshat to explain why Rabbi Meir holds it's not a good wool for the sukkah. It's not just a chshash midrabanan shema tamos or a chshash midrabanan shema yivrach. There's something inherently problematic midar raisa that it doesn't work from the fact that Rabbi Meir says in Erevin, in Mishnah Erevin, that it's not mitame as a gola lekever. Answers the Gemara. El Amar Vach Bayak Kasev Rav Meir Kol Mechitza Sheomedes Beruach Eina Mechitza. Any wall that needs the animal being alive in order for it to be a wall is not defined as a wall. It needs ruach, it needs life, so it's not defined as a wall. Says the Gemara. That's one opinion. Ikad Amri. Some have this a little differently. Amar Vach Bayak Kasev Rav Meir. Any wall that is not made by a human being is not a mechitza. Now, when it says not made by a human being, it doesn't mean like if you have a tree or a stone wall or just a pile of stones that was made, that was there, like a rock, a solid rock formation that was made by Hashem. No, the Gemara doesn't mean to exclude that. Tosis says in Erevin over there, in that sugya, Tosis and Erevin on Daf Tes Vavam and Aleph, so it doesn't mean that it has to be made actually by man, it just has to be ro'i to be made by man. And an animal, that's a living, breathing organism, cannot be fashioned by a human being. So says Tosis and Erevin, Dibur Maskil, tail. I can't even read this, it's so small, what does that say? I think that's what it is. Anyway, okay. Says the Gemara, what's the difference between these two formulations? One of them is anything that's alive, that's made by a ruach is not a mechitza, or something made by Hashem is not a my benayu. Ikabenayu deukma benod tafuach. Interesting. Let's say you use a blow up mattress, or something that they have to blow up. Note, Gemara here talks about a leather bag that you had to blow up. You have to put air into it. Laman de Amar mechitza omedes beruach ina mechitza. If you say anything that needs air to exist is not a mechitza, so then a blow up mattress is no good. You need the air. So then, hare omedes beruach. Aval laman de Amar ina suyu bidei adam. But if you say no, the criteria is not a blow up mattress. It just means it's got to be made by a human being. So you blew it up. You blew up the blow-up mattress that was made by a human being. So that works. So, Anasu b'nei Adam. So, Harayasu b'nei Adam. Very nice. Okay. Let's continue. Zak the Halakha Gemara. Zak the Halakha Gemara. Here we go. Amar Mar, we learned earlier in the Brisa, Mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili Amru Af Ein Kostun Alav Gite Nashim. You're not allowed to write a get on an animal. I guess people want to be creative with that, where they're getting, right? You're going to write the get on the animal. You don't want to have to see the girl, so you take a cow, you write the get on the cow, and you send the cow into her room, you know. Bye-bye, honey. You don't want to have to... It's an interesting kind of a situation. Amar Mar, Mishum Rabbi Yosi Agli Amru Af Ein Kosin Alav Gite Nashim. This is a famous Gemara coming up right now. Very famous Gemara appears a few places in Shas. Says the Gemara, My time with Rabbi Yosi Agli. What's the logic of Rabbi Yosi Agli? The San Yulit and Abraisa. The Torah says by a get, V'kosav lo sefer krisus v'nasan biyada. V'kosav lo sefer krisus v'nasan biyada. Sefer, the get has to be a sefer. Ein li ela sefer. Sounds like you got to write it on klaf, on parchment. That's what sefer usually means, parchment. Minayin l'rabos kol davar. How do you know you're allowed to write it on a piece of wood, on a leaf of a tree, other things, paper? Says the Gemara, Talmud loymar v'kosav lo. Yeah, the kosav law, you could write anything. Mikomako. Tosis points out over here in Talmud Loma, the kosav law, Mikomako, on the top Tosis. Tosis points out, wait a second. That's a klalu prat. We say every morning, klalu prat, ein b'chlal alamashe b'prat. We don't say that every morning, but klalu prat, that's one of the 32 midas shaton jeshman. Usually we say it's limited. It's for kosav law, then it says sefer. So that limits it. Usually we assume klal prat limits it. So Tosa says, no, it's really a klal pratu klal, because it says, v'kosav la, sefer krisus, v'nasan biyada. V'nasan biyada is a general word that comes to include anything that's like the sefer. Imkein ma tamad lomar sefer lomalach, ma sefer davashed bo ruachayim, just like a klaf is not alive, ve'eno ochel, and it's not a food, af kol davashed bo ruachayim ve'eno ochel. So too, you could only use as you get, because you have a klal pradu klal, that's what Tosa says. You could only use as you get something that's like a sefer, namely, it's not alive, and it's not a food. says the Gemara of the Rabbanon. So that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. But the Rabbanon argue in Rabbi Yossi Aglili. They say you're allowed to ride a get on an animal. The Chacham say you're allowed to ride a get on an animal. So what do they do with this klal part of klal? Ikasav bisefer kedikarmas. If it would have said v'kasav law bisefer, then you'd be right. Hashad dechsev sefer. He says the word sefer here is coming to teach you something different. L'sfiras dvarim ba'al mahuda asa. Chachamim say the word sefer is coming to teach you that the get has to tell the story of the divorce. What do you mean the get has to tell the story of the divorce? The get has to say harei at muteres l'chol adam. Say harei at migureshes mimeni v'harei at muteres l'chol adam. The language of the get has to be l'sfiras dvarim. Says the Gemara, v'rabbanan hai v'kasav mai dar shibe. So wait a second. So the Rabbanan don't use sefer as a limiting word. So then what's v'kasav, which comes to include? So v'rabbanan hai v'kasav mai dar shibe. What do they do with the word v'kasav? Since they don't hold sefer as limiting, so we don't need v'kasav to include. So what's v'kasav including? Ahumi bayalei. B'ksiva miskareshes v'ena miskareshes b'kesef. V'kasav lo, that you could only divorce her with a get, you can't divorce her with money. Apparently nowadays to divorce, my brother tells me that nowadays to divorce you need a lot of money. But the Gemara says, v'kasav, halachically you could only divorce with a get, but you can't divorce with money. What do you mean? Why would you think you could do that? Says the Gemara. Sakdad chamina hold iskish havaya yitzir la havaya. Since we have a comparison in the Torah, we have a hekesh comparing divorce to marriage. What do you mean? We compare divorce to marriage. The Torah says, "Pashas kiseitze v'shilcha mibeso v'yatzah mibeso v'holcha v'hoysa leish acher." You divorce her, then she can go marry somebody else. So we compare divorce to marriage. So you might think, ma havaya bekesef, just like marriage can be done with money, af yitzia bekesef, so too divorce could be done with money, kamash malon. That's why the Torah says, v'kasav la, that you divorce her, she can only be divorced with a get, and not with money. Now, interestingly, if you assume that a woman is going to be divorced with money, who's going to give the money to who? So Rashi here says, that the havamina that she can be divorced with the money would be that the husband gives the wife the money. The husband divorces her by giving her money, just like he divorces her by giving her a get, so he can divorce her by giving her money. So the Sfasemer says, on this Rashi, logically, I would have said the opposite. Logically, I would have said, wait a second. If you're telling me that the husband can marry the girl by he's giving her money, it's like he's acquiring her. So how would she get divorced? She should give money to him and buy herself back. So that I would say that logically, like by an Eved Ivri, that he acquires himself by giving money to the Adam. But from the Gemara Maseches Kedushin, it's clear that Rashi is correct. That really it would be him giving her the money. So what's the pshat? So you have to say that since we're learning it out from marriage, just like by marriage he gave her the money to acquire her, so too by marriage he's going to give her the money, and just like he gives her a get, by giving her money, that will somehow accomplish the divorce, even though it's a little bit counterintuitive. Anyway, however you say the money. Kamash Malan, that no, it doesn't work. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, hai svar minole, says the Gemara, how does Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he used Vikasav to teach me that it's not only a klaf, it's even other things. So how does he know that she could be divorced only with a get and not with money? Hai svar minole, me. Sefer krisus nafkale, sefer korsa ve'in davarache korsa. A get cuts her off, and money cannot cut her off. Ve'idach, what does Rabbi Yossi Haglili learn out from that pasuk? I'm sorry, Chachamim. We're up to Chachamim. What the Chachamim, right? It was Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns that from Sefer Krisos. So what are the Rabbanan, right? What do they learn out from Sefer Krisos? So Ve'idach, what do the Rabbanan learn out from this? Rabbanan hahu miboyle ledavar hakoris beino leveina. So they use the word Sefer Krisos to teach me that the divorce has to be an absolute severance and separation between husband and wife. Davar hakoris beino leveina. The divorce has to be a complete separation. What does this mean? Kedesanya. We learned in the Braisa. Hareze giteich amanas shlo tishti yayin. A man divorces his wife, but he wants to, you know, kick her on the way out. He wants to, like, make sure, you know, wants to throw her to the ground and make her life miserable on the way out of the divorce. So he says, I'll divorce you, but the condition of my divorcing you is that you may not ever drink wine for the rest of your life. So the Gemara says that's not a good get. He wants to shift her. So he says, I'm divorcing you on condition you never walk into your parents' house again. Says Lamar, Ein zeh krisos. That is not a good get. Why is that not a good get? Because the Rishonim explain in two different ways, very similar explanations. It's not a good get because that means for the entire rest of her life, she's besuffek, maybe the get is going to be undone. Because if she ever drinks wine or she ever walks into her father's house, now retroactively she was never divorced in the first place. So what's she going to do? She's going to go get married. Her kids are going to be mamzerim because she's going to accidentally one time walk into her parents' house and now the get is going to be undone retroactively and she's going to be messed up. It's not a full divorce. If for her whole life she's always still a little bit tied to him. So it's not a complete divorce because maybe she's going to undo it at any moment. So it's not a good get. However, says the Gemara, Kol Shloshim Yom, if the condition is you can't drink wine for 30 days or for 30 years, whatever it is, if the get has some end time, so then, you can't drink wine, or you can't go into your parents' house for 30 days, or you can't drink wine for 30 days, that is a good get, because after 30 days, we'll know that she's done. It's a complete divorce. So Kol Shloshim Yom Hareze Krisus. That is a good get. V'idach, how does Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he learns that Sefer Krisus to tell me she can only get divorced with a get and not with money. So where does he learn out that it has to be Davar HaKoreis Beino Leveina? V'idach mikoreis krisus nafka. From the plural of the word krisus. V'idach hachamim koreis krisus lo dashi. They don't dash in the double language of the extra language of krisus. Now Tosis over here on the bottom of the page, Tosis raises an interesting issue over here. If you make a condition on any condition, forget divorce, but any time, I say I'm going to marry you, I'm going to divorce you on the condition that you don't walk into your father's house forever. So we say if it's forever, it's not a good get. Asks Tosfos, what do you mean? After the father dies, so it's no longer his house. So it's not forever, because once the father dies, she'll be able to go into the house. It's not her father's house anymore. So it's not forever. So that should work also. That's Tosis Kasha. Take a look inside the Tosis. Amanash lo telchi leveis avich lo'olam ein zeh krisus. Tema, Tosis says. I'm in the third Tosis in the bottom. Tema, it's a wonder. V'ha imeis aviv lo'y chashiv asu beis aviv. If the father dies, it's not his house anymore. K'distan ben adar m'perik ha-shotfin. Konem lebeis chasheni nechnas. By nedarim, a guy swears, I'm never going to go into your house again. I'm so angry with you, I'm never going to walk into your house. Or, I'm never going to buy your field from you. Mace, if the guy dies, osha machra, or he sold it, la'acher mutter. So if the guy dies, I'm never going to go into your house. Now you die, so I'm allowed to walk into your house. It's not your house anymore. Maybe now it's your wife's house or it's your kid's house. V'yesh leimar, the base aviv kruyin kol yoytzei chalotzov shel aviv. Oh, says Tosis, even after the father dies, it's still called the father's house. Base Aviv, Kol Yotzei Chalotav Shaviv. The father's not there anymore. It now belongs to the kids, but it's still the father's house. Afal Pi Shemes Kedashchem Gabe Tamar. He brings a raya. It says by Tamar, Shaisa Bito Shel Shem. Even after Shem died, Uksiv Shvi Almana Beis Avich. Even though Shem was dead at the time, Shvi Almana Beis Avich. So Yehuda said to Tamar, go be an almana in your father's house. If you do the cheshbon, Shem was already dead. That's what Taisa says. Other Rishonim disagree with this Tosus. The Ritva rejects Taisus's raya from Yehuda and Tamar. Because, yeah, there Yehuda was referring after Shem already died, he said, and he called it Beis Avich, so obviously he meant that house. But if a guy says to somebody, you can't go to your father's house, maybe after the father dies he doesn't mean it. So the Ritva rejects that. So many Rishonim disagree with this Tosfos, and they hold that after the father dies, it's no longer called the father's house. And as far as, so what about Tosfos' Kasha? Oh, so if it's not called the father's house, how come the Gemara says it's not a good get? Once the father dies, it's going to be a good get. So the Ritva quotes another answer. That it depends on the language that you use. If he says to her, you should not go to your father's house, so you're right, it would be a good get. Because after the father dies, it's no longer the father's house. It would be a good get. If he says to her, this house that belongs to your father, then even after the father dies, she can't go in. It would not be a good get. However, what's the case in our Gemara? Our Gemara is talking about a third case. He says to her, your father's property, not the father's house, but this property that belongs to your father. So then it's forever. So says the Ritva. So it's going to depend on the language. Okay. What's that? Right. So then it's fine. Agreed. That's exactly the pshat. Exactly right. It's this land that you can't go into. So then they move. So you're saying right. If it's right. So the bad thing is that this land. Right. So if you just say this land. And then they move. So then it's still forever. Right. It's this land. It's this land. Whether they own it or don't own it. But is this land, right, so that's what you're saying, Chanukah. That's what he says, that's the case of our Gemara. It's this land that happens to be owned by your father. Even if it's owned by somebody else, you still can't go into this land. So that'll be forever, and that'll be a problem. And any condition that has an aspect of it that's forever is going to be a problem. Correct. Very good. Good. Next Mishnah, let's do a little bit more, says the Gemara. Ha'osa sukaso bein ha'ilanos v'ha'ilanos tefanos la'ksheira. Let's say you build a sukkah, you have four trees, and you put schach on four poles. Not that the schach is resting on the trees. You put up schach on four poles, but the trees serve as the wall. Kshera. Yeah. Right. Because if the tree, if the schach was, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, that if the schach is actually resting on the trees, it's going to be pasul. We learned that earlier. Because of mamid, that's what the ra'ah says over here, that if the schach is actually resting on something pasul, then it's no good because the schach, the ra'ah says it's mamid. The Me'iri writes that way as well. The Mishnah is talking about where you just put schach on four poles, which were kosher, but the walls, the trees, were the walls of the sukkah. Bach explains that way based on Rashi. Rashi writes, "Bein ilanos ba'aretz v'lo samcha alein avolhein defanoseh." Right? Is there a Rashi like that? Take a look. Bein ilanos ba'aretz. Right? V'lo samcha alein avolhein defanoseh. Right? You didn't. The schach is not resting on the trees, but the trees happen to be its walls. That's the way Rashi, the Bach understands Rashi, and the Meiri and the Ra'ah say like that. However, in the Aruch HaNer, he writes, Aruch HaNer on this Rashi writes, that if the schach is resting on the trees, it's not possible. But you're not allowed to walk in there on Shabbos and Yontif because you're not allowed to use trees on Shabbos and Yontif, but the schach is not possible because of Mamid. So that, we've been discussing this a long time. There's a big question about whether or not if the schach is resting on something, right? Let's say, I don't know, let's say you're using the walls of your house. The wall of your house is not kosher schach. Let's say you rest the bamboo or you rest in the schach mats right on the wall of your house, directly on the wall. So that's a question. Do you have to have a 2x4 in the middle or not? So some people are careful to not have the schach rest directly on the house because they're worried about mamid. Says the Gemara, Osis ukasa bein elanos vayelanos tefanos la kshera. So you're allowed to have trees to be the walls of your sukkah as long as the schach is not resting on them. That's the way Rashi understands. Says the Gemara, Amar v'achar bar Yaakov, kol mechitza she'en yichol lamod beruach mitzuya, ena mechitza. Any wall that cannot withstand a normal wind is not a good mechitza. Now here we have another halachic shayla, big shayla, with canvas sukkahs. Now it depends how. My father was always very, very careful. We always had a canvas sukkah. All the years we always had a canvas sukkah with metal poles. So my father used to put 2x4s, so the schach wasn't resting directly on the metal poles. It was mamid de mamid. So mamid de mamid, you can be lenient. It's if it's a support of a support. That's one point. That's what we discussed before. But now, what about the canvas sukkah? So a lot of people don't know this. They have the canvas sukkah, and the canvas is like blowing in the wind. It's blowing back and forth. When the wind blows, all four walls of the canvas sukkah blowing back and forth. So that's an explicit gemara over here that's no good. You have to tie the canvas down so that it's taut. It's yochel lamud baruch mitzuya. Yochel lamud baruch mitzuya doesn't just mean that it's not going to collapse in the baruch mitzuya. It means that the walls are not going to shake back and forth. Take a look. Look at Rashi. She'ena. Take a look at the first Rashi in the Gemara. She'ena yicholam baruch mitzuya. Sheharuach molicha umevi'ah. That the wind sends it this way and that way. Not that the wind's going to destroy it. No, even if it's a wall that's so flimsy that the wind blows it back and forth. Okay, so if the wind blows it a tiny drop, that's not a problem. But if a normal, regular wind, it's totally like not tied down the canvas. A lot of these canvas sukkahs, if you don't tie them down strongly, the wind is going to blow them to and fro. So Rashi says if the wind is going to blow the wall to and fro, that's not yochalam and baruch mitzuyah. It's not a kosher wall for the sukkah. So the moral of the story is, if you have a canvas sukkah, you just got to make sure to tie the walls down tightly so that the wind doesn't blow it that much. Okay? So, if it can't withstand a normal wind, and rather a normal wind is going to blow it to and fro, so it's no good. And Rashi proves this from the Gemara that we're going to have shortly. Let's see. Tanan osis akasa bein ha'ilanos v'ha'ilanos tefanos la. If the walls are the trees, kshera, asks the Gemara. So the Gemara thought this meant that you need to use the branches of a tree. V'ha'ka'azil v'asi. But wait a second. Don't the branches of a tree, doesn't the wind blow the branches of a tree to and fro? So you tell me if something blows to and fro, it ain't no good. It ain't good. Answer the Gemara, Hachamayaskinan, Bikashin. No, we're talking about very thick, strong trees that when the wind blows them, like let's say the trunks of the tree, when the wind blows them, they're not going to move. Okay, Shkayach, even a strong tree, what about their branches? The branches are going to blow. Answer the Gemara, David Le Behutza Vedafno. You're right. A tree doesn't work if the wind blows it to and fro. It doesn't work. So the Gemara answers that you tied the tree. You tied the tree with branches. Like you tied the tree in place with hutzav adafna. You brought some branches there so that the tree shouldn't blow to and fro. Yachimai lameira says the Gemara. So then, what's the chiddush of this? Mao desema. No, you might think that walls of a sukkah cannot be a tree because maybe you'll come to use the tree on Shabbos and Yontif, so you can't use it. Kamash Malan, that no, you're allowed to use it because the schach is not resting on it, so it's okay. Tashma, coming here, another proof. Hayasham. So this is talking about the case of Pase Biroos, those tefach by a tefach walls that are going to be around your well to allow you to carry water from the pit, from the bor, into the Rishus HaRabim for the Olei Regalim, the people going up to visit Yerushalayim. They made this dispensation. You could use these four corners. We had it in Erevin. Hayusham Ilan Ogader. Let's say you had a tree that was a tefach by a tefach, or a fence that was a tefach by a tefach, or mechitzas hakanim, or a wall that was a tefach by a tefach, nidon mishum diyumud. We view it as if it's carved out, and it could serve as this one tefach by one tefach L-shaped diyumud. But the question, you're allowed to use a tree. But how could that be a good mechitza? The tree's gonna blow in the wind to and fro. Answer the Gemara, you're right. You have to tie it down with branches. Again, so you see here, you got to tie your canvas sukkah, you got to tie it down. Toshma, coming here, another proof. Ilana Mesechala Aretz, if you have a tree, we had this in Erevin. Let's say you have a tree that's branches spread out and it covers over the whole ground. So the question is, can you be kind of shvisa in that kind of a place for Erevin? Remember, we learned that if you're stuck Erev Shabbos in a place, so you have four am, you have $2,000 from wherever you're stuck. But if you're stuck in an enclosed area, a place that's mukaf ladira, so then if it's less than 5,000 amos, you could walk the entire place. Excuse me. If it's hukaf ladira, even if it's more than 5,000 amos, you're allowed to walk in that entire place at 2,000 amos outside the mechitzas. But if it's enclosed, but it's lo hukaf ladira, it wasn't a place that was enclosed for living, so then you're only allowed to walk, if it's less than 5,000 amos, you're only allowed to walk inside that area, but not 2,000 amos outside of it. Says the Gemara, meaning you're only allowed to walk 2,000 amos. Tashma. Ilan ha-mesech ha-la-aretz. Let's say you have a massive tree that covers, that's, the branches spread out to the ground. Im ein nofo gavoa min ha-aretz shlosha tfachim, if the branches reach all the way to the ground within three tfachim, like you have this like tent effect, that the tree's branches spread out and it makes like a big tent. Metaltalin tachtav. So first of all, you're allowed to carry in there on Shabbos, because the whole thing is like a Rishus HaYachid, right? Assuming it's more than 10 tefachim tall and it's more than 4 tefachim wide. Says the Gemara, but has it a good wall? The wind is going to blow the branches. Amai, haka'azel va'asi. But the wind is going to blow it. Says the Gemara, hasa nami davle b'hutu v'dafna. Says the Gemara, ihachi, if that's true, nitaltal b'kule. Wait a second. Then you should be allowed to carry in the entire area, even if it's more than 5,000 square amos. If you really tell me that it's good mechitzas. So wait a second. Alama, Amar Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. Why did Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua say as follows? Why did he say, Ein metaltalin bo, Ella, Beisa Sayim, you're only allowed to, if the place is lo hukaf ladira, you're only allowed to carry 5,000, if it's less than 5,000 amos, but if it's more than 5,000 amos, you're only allowed to carry 4 amos in it. If it's lo hukaf ladira, answer the Gemara, mishim d'avi dira shetash misheha la'avir, v'chol dira shetash misheha la'avir, mitalim ba'ela beisa sayim. So we learned this in Erevin. The answer is because in such a case, It's this kind of a booth is made to watch the fields that are outside it. It's not made for the area inside. It's made to watch the fields that are outside it. And that's why it's not considered to be a legit enclosed area. Even though this area, once you built your own walls there, it sounds like it should be hukaf ladira. Nevertheless, it's not made for the inside. It's made for a shomer to hang out there so he could watch what's outside of it. So since something that's made for the outside is not considered to be hukaf ladir. One last proof. Tashma, come near proof. Shavas betel shu gavoa asara. If the guy, Erev Shabbos, is on a pile, like a small hill, that's 10 tefachim high, Who me'arba amos ad beis sasayim? If it's anywhere between 4 amos and 5,000 square amos, v'chein b'neka shu amok asara, or in a valley that's 10 tefachim deep, who me'arba amos ad beis sasayim between 4 amos and 5,000, v'chein kama katsura shibolos makifos osa v'shibolos makifos osa. So in all these cases, that it's a 10 tefachim high. So all these cases, mahalach is kula. So you're allowed to walk in the entire area. It's enclosed by walls. It's the whole thing is considered like 4 amos. V'chutza la'alpayim amos. You could even go 2,000 amos outside of it. It's considered to be enclosed. V'avagav dekaz alva'asi. But wait a second. Even though it's surrounded by wheat, that's high, 10 tefachim, an area that was surrounded by wheat. So isn't the wheat going to blow to and fro? So how's the wheat a good wall? Vavagav the cause of us, the answer. The Gemara says, Nam double behut of Adafna. The Gemara answers, you're right. It's talking about a case where you tie down the wheat with branches. So it you tied it down in place. The Acharon will talk about, you kept on giving the same answer. Didn't the Gemara realize they were going to give the same answer? The Acharon will talk about it. It's a bigger chiddush in each case. Okay, Rabosai, we will stop here. Just coming attractions, Rabosai. From now on, the second half of Masechet Sukkah, every single daf is packed with a lot of stuff. So coming attractions beginning tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning we will have Shir Bez Hashem at 7:20, which for me is this afternoon. But this is my last week in Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully next week we'll be back in person. Bez Hashem, will have to work that out. Everyone should have a good tevach, a wonderful week.